was a more muted celebration of Victory Day in Moscow today. There was still the parade of soldiers, tanks and missiles in Red Square as the country commemorated its victory over Nazi Germany in 1945. And Russian President Vladimir Putin drew parallels between that war and his unprovoked invasion of Ukraine, calling it a struggle for survival against a new, quote, cult of Nazism. Victory Day has resonated deeply in Ukraine, but this holiday has taken on new meaning after the invasion. Siobhan O'Grady is the chief Ukraine correspondent with the Washington Post, our editorial partners. Siobhan, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
We know there was concern that Russia might increase attacks on Ukraine on or around Victory Day. What's it been like for the past couple of days?
Well, I'm currently in Kyiv, and I woke up this morning around 5 a.m. to a large explosion for I think what was the fourth or fifth night in a row. I'm honestly losing track at this point. No one has been sleeping very well this week. We've had so many incidents over the last few days, and there's been this expectation each night now that around 1 or 2 a.m. we'll start to hear the booms of air defense working outside, deflecting attacks on the capital. These attacks on Kyiv kind of come in waves. There will be times when the capital is not coming under regular assault and then times when it is. And definitely in the days leading up to Victory Day, there have been a lot more than usual. And, you know, Ukraine has been pleading for better air defense for quite a while and recently received the Patriot system, which is an American system. And they said this week that they were actually able to use it to take down a missile headed for the capital. So those are the kinds of weapons that they had previously had trouble detecting. And so it is a positive sign on the Ukrainian side that they've been able to stop some of these attacks, but it's definitely very stressful.
And given all of that, I can only imagine how Putin's rhetoric comparing Ukraine to Nazi Germany is playing with Ukrainians.
Yeah, I think people are just exhausted. And honestly, nobody wants to pay too much attention to what he's saying. I think one of the stark differences we saw today was between his comments in Moscow, where he said, addressing essentially Russian troops fighting in Ukraine, saying that the future of Russia's statehood and people depends on them. But meanwhile, in Ukraine, Yevgeny Prigozhin, who leads the Wagner mercenary group, which is the Russian group that is fighting in eastern Ukraine in the very embattled city of Bakhmut, he was publishing videos completely railing against Putin's administration, essentially saying that they've been left without enough ammunition to continue the fight. So there are two very stark contrasts between what's being said from the battlefield and what was being said in Moscow today.
You know, I want to ask you, because the Pentagon has announced another assistance package for Ukraine. It's $1.2 billion for air defense systems and munitions. We've heard a lot about Ukraine's military running low on ammunition. Is this assistance going to get there in time to help?
I think that the Ukrainians say that they'll take whatever they can get and are grateful for whatever they can have. But as we are seeing here right now, there has been this buildup to a spring counteroffensive that Ukraine has been talking about for months, that they'll be launching a counteroffensive. The plans are secret. It's not exactly clear where they'll be going, but there are several potential scenarios, and that they need more weapons in advance of that counteroffensive. And so it's not clear even now what exactly they're waiting for. I know from talks with senior officials in the past few days that we're hearing that some troops who they want to deploy during that time are still finishing training, and that, yes, there may still be a few pieces of equipment that they're waiting for. But I think one of the main concerns is that once that offensive starts, even if they have enough to start it, they're expecting that equipment will be destroyed as it is regularly in warfare, and that they'll need to have backup equipment as well. So I think that they are very much pressing for a consistent flow of weaponry. They remain very grateful, but I definitely have found that in speaking with troops who are on the front lines, that they say that they need more. Some seem to have more than others, depending on where they're located, but no one seems totally satisfied.
Okay, Siobhan O'Grady is the chief Ukraine correspondent with the Washington Post. Siobhan, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.